Father, we thank you so much for today. We are grateful. We are so grateful. Thank you for the open heavens that we have through our spiritual appearance, in which, Lord, we can sense and feel your presence in the air. As we go into your word, Father, I strip myself of every confidence that I might yet have in my own knowledge or ability to teach or to preach or to minister. And I ask that, Lord, you will have mercy upon me today as I duck under the covering of my spiritual appearance. That, Lord, you will help me, Lord, to use this preparation, which is very inadequate. That you will help me, Lord, to bring a word in season that will bring comfort and edification to them that mourn in Zion. That I'll also pray, Lord, as we go into your word, you help me to teach, to preach, to ministers on our Lord God. Lord, as word goes forth, let it go forth with power and with accuracy to cause yokes in life to be broken. That, Lord, you will back this word with power, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be further enlightened by revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be further controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. I ask for grace to redeem the time, not to say things that are unnecessary. But Lord God, you help me as a scribe instructor unto the kingdom to bring out things both old and new from your word. Thank you, Father. Lord, just thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Come to give you all the glory for that which you're doing now. Mr. Holy Spirit, Lord, I set you at my right hand. Come and have your way. We thank you, Father, for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The title of our message today is Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let's say it together. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Obviously, we know where that scripture came from. I kind of picked it from what Pastor shared on Sunday, the Sunday message about manifesting life of God in mortal flesh, and also the prophetic word our mommy gave yesterday while we were praying, when he was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ declaring in the midst of the Feast of Tabernacles that come unto me all you that thirst, and I will fill you. I think yes, and he shared some scriptures about the year 2018, which is important for us to take heed to these scriptures, because he said something yesterday. He said this thing has already begun. So I'm trusting God that as we go into the word of God today, God will help me to share one or two things that will edify the body and bring refreshing to all of us. Praise the Lord. So let's open our Bible book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's read together. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for what? They shall be filled. Let's read it one more time for emphasis. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Here we see a promise by God. God has a desire on one hand. And Lord God said this himself. Said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. It says, they shall be completely satisfied. This is God's desire for us in this day. God wants us to be filled and to be satisfied. But he has put a condition there. He said it is only for those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now let's look at these two words. Hunger. Let's say hunger and thirst. Let's say once again, hunger and thirst. You see, when we say the word hunger, it means that a need or a compelling desire in the natural for food or a kind of craving. You see, hunger is one of the things that men find it difficult to hold back. I follow you. The Bible says somewhere in the book of Proverbs, it says that if somebody should steal, you know, because he's hungry, I'm not saying that we should steal. He said, but he said, we understand, but it will restore sevenfold. That is, hunger is what makes you go beyond the natural barrier. Are you following me? So let's say hunger and thirst for righteousness is a desire, a craving that compels you. So in the natural, you see, if you look in the natural and you see somebody now, using a natural example, that maybe a child or we ourselves, and we show signs of a loss of appetite, then it tells us there's a problem. That person is sick. Am I right or wrong? So that's what we are saying. So that is why the master himself said, he said, blessed are they that hunger and do what? Thirst for after righteousness, and they shall be filled. You see, our hunger for God, our thirst for God, can only be satisfied when he fills us with the spirit without measure. I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. So we must never come to a place in our Christianity that we lose our appetite for the things of God. Or let me put it this way, we must never come to that place whereby we feed on the appetizers before the main meal. You know, if you go to a restaurant and they serve you food, and you take the first course, maybe it's whatever they serve, pepper soup, whatever they serve, if you feed on that too much, by the time they bring the main meal, are you following me? You will have filled yourself with the first course, and you will know you have lost the desire because there's no more space for the main meal. Are you following me? The main meal that God has for his body today is to fill us with his righteousness. Are you following me? So it's very, very important. So I put it there just to emphasize and say that when we hunger and thirst spiritually now for God's righteousness, it has two indications. Indication number one is a sign of good spiritual health. Let's say it together. It's a sign of good spiritual health. That is, we are healthy. Like if you have children when they are young, they eat and eat. You're always happy. If you see a child that does not eat, their parents are afraid. You say, I'm on your job. They begin to get jittery. Are you following me? That means that the child is not feeling well. Then the second thing, spiritually speaking now, is a sign of humility. Let's get that. It's a sign of what? Humility. See, the moment that we begin to lose our appetite for God's righteousness, that means we're already satisfied with the status quo, like mommy always says. And there's no status quo in the kingdom. That is, you are content with your level and you believe there's nothing else again in God, and then you just take it easy. The Bible says that the ease of prosperity, I think, will slay them. Somewhere in the Bible. So God, those are the things we need to understand. God wants us to be spiritually healthy and also to demonstrate our humility. Are you following me? And that is done when we have this hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Now, just to give a background, as we've been taught over the years, there are two kinds of righteousness. Let's say right standing and right doing. Right standing and right doing. What is right standing? We've been taught, you know, these are foundational. It is that which you attain when you get born again through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be what? Made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That right standing is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the main thing it gives us is access to the life of God, which gets us born again. And that is the foundation. Are you with me? Now, the second aspect is now the right doing. That was a lot of right doing, which has to do with our daily conduct in Christianity. Now, you need the foundation of right standing to be able to do right, because it gives you access to the blood of Jesus Christ. I follow me. Jesus Christ paid the price for everyone that is born again, and those are not born again. So when we get born again, our spirits are connected to Lord Jesus Christ. Like we told, I'm the vine, you are the branches. That is our right standing with God. You can stand before God without any guilty conscience. I follow him. The Bible says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, see the Lord. Fine. But see, we don't stop there. That is Passover. We now move on to using that foundation of Passover, our right standing with God, to gain access to the life of God, to have a good conduct. In summary, to perfect the love of God in our lives, which we've been taught about here. That's all the summary. Praise the Lord. So we need to, let's say together, we need to use our right standing through the blood of Jesus Christ to receive life from God, to do right daily. Praise the Lord. So that is important. That's why the Bible says, I repeat it again, says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, but it shall be filled. See, the initial right standing is not enough. We need to move ahead with right doing. And that right doing has a purpose. It has an end. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So, let me just read as I put it here so that I will summarize. I will not digress from what I intend to do. Says that, I said that the righteousness of which God desires in this day that you hunger and thirst for is the righteousness of using our access to the life of God through the frequent use of the blood of Jesus that will lead to our right conduct as you pump the life of God into our mortal flesh until we awake in his likeness. There's an end. You see, if we don't awake in his likeness, that is the only thing that God has designed to satisfy us. Let's just read to understand what we're saying. Because I mentioned there that the Amplified says that we shall be fully satisfied. Psalm 17 verse 15. The scripture we should all know. I think we just mentioned it for emphasis. That is the end of our faith. Are we there? It says, as for me. This psalm is talking, which applies to us. It says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. So it takes righteousness to behold the face of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I shall be what? satisfied. Let's say, I shall be satisfied when what? I awake with thy likeness. So this righteousness we are talking about, or this right doing, this daily conduct, excuse me, it has an end. You can only be satisfied, or can only satisfy the longing of our soul when we awake in his likeness. Because we have been called to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So that is our end, that's our purpose. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, I don't have time to turn there, it says that there is a righteousness that tends to life. Proverbs 11:19, there's a righteousness that tends to life. And like I was saying, Pastor was teaching us on Sunday, and he quoted from Romans chapter 8, verse 10. Let's open there, I will just read it for emphasis so we can understand better this aspect of the end point of our right doing. Praise the Lord. What does it say? And if Christ be in you, let's see. And if Christ be in you, the body is what? Dead because of sin. Pastor said he's not talking about physical death here. It's the spiritual death, the same nature in the body. But the spirit there is put in capital, but it's small. It's talking about recreated human spirit. So, but the spirit is life, or has access to life because of righteousness, which is the right standing. Next verse. Doesn't stop there. But if the spirit, that's talking about Holy Spirit, of him that raised up what? The Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, dwell in you. I will not dwell in some because we speak in tongues. Are you following me? He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or give life. That's old English. To your what? Mortal bodies by spirit that dwelleth in you. Let's keep reading. See the end point as we keep on reading of this righteousness that we should hunger and thirst for. Next verse. Therefore, brethren, we are what? Debtors. He's not saying that we are not debtors, but we are debtors. Are you following me? He said, not to the flesh. Do you understand that? If he said you are debtor to, that means you are a debtor to something else. That means we are a debtor to live by the Spirit. And as I said, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Next verse. For if ye, born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christian, live after the flesh, you shall die. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. But no, we need to read it. But if you through the Spirit do mortify or kill, or the deeds of the body, you shall live. That is the way of escape. That means it is possible. If it is not possible, you see, God's emphasis here is not that we are going to die. But the emphasis is the way of escape, which now says that, look, if you through the Spirit that dwells in you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Next verse. Now, this is where we are going. It says that, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Our destiny is to become sons of God. But look at the process. It starts from our righteousness, being connected to God, having access to the life of God, and I say that through that access now to begin to crucify the desires of the flesh. Galatians says the flesh lusts against the spirit lusts against it. He said, but if you will walk in the Spirit, you shall not. That means the forces of righteousness, the forces of the Spirit are stronger than the forces of the flesh. Is that okay? So that means that it's possible. So it now has to do with our diligence to make sure that we mortify the deeds of the body. Now, if we don't do that, what it means, my last verse already, is that you are not going to be led by the Spirit of God as the Son of God. That means that flesh that you have not crucified will going to lead you. But that's not our portion in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So that is very important for us to know. And that's why the Bible says, Pastor mentions, so 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I've just mentioned, we don't have to turn here, verses 10 and 11. It says that we are in this physical body, we have been delivered unto death. Always bearing about in our body, you know, the dying, thank you, sir, of the Lord Jesus Christ. That what? The life of Christ, let's just read it. Always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our flesh. Next verse. Then it says it again, a second time for witness in the same verse, chapter. Say, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Christ also just might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That this pastor explained it on Sunday. I don't have time to turn there. That is all the things that happen. You see, God allows them, you know, first of all, to seal Satan's destiny. That is, there's no hiding. But see, when you take the thing, we need to take advantage of it. So when we take advantage of those things of being delivered unto these things is so that the life of Christ can be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That means if this process does not take place, the life of Christ will never be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Praise the Lord. So it's very important that we have that at the back of our minds. It's not a long message, but I put it here as I continue. And I said, look, many in the body of Christ have entered the snare, and they have lost their hunger and a thirst for righteousness. The righteousness we speak about here is the righteousness that causes the life of Christ to be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Understand that. I'm not talking about just getting born again. A right standing that gets you to heaven, like the thief on the cross. It did not fulfill his destiny. He was saved so as by fire. But that is not God's purpose for us. I have been taught so much about this. It is this righteousness that starts with the foundation of right standing and now proceeds gradually as a pumped life of God into our physical bodies till that life is made manifest in our mortal flesh. Are you following me? So, and I, many Christians in the body of Christ today, due to bad leadership, have lost their hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? Because leadership has fed them with the wrong diet. They fed them with junk food. So even when you present this right diet to them, by the time you present it, they're already filled with something else. They say the whole, thank you, sir, the old is better than the new. And I gave an example. Lord gave me here, you know, I will read from Numbers chapter 32, verses 1 to 4. Let me just explain before we read. This is a story of the children of Israel. Understand again that using types and shadows, this speaks about the promised land of the perfection and the fullness of Christ, which is the land of Canaan that God promised them, the land that flows with milk and honey. That's what he has promised them that they will inherit. And he declared it from the time they were in Egypt and told Moses, and said, I'm taking you to a land. When they heard that message, they were very happy. I know the series of miracles that God did, and he brought them out. But all of a sudden, let's see, believe that with nice experience. As they began to move near the promised land, which is what we begin to experience, which is a type of Pentecost, you start experiencing a measure of prosperity, measure of healing, and this and this and that. Two and a half tribes came to Moses, and they said something. They said, okay, Moses, look, this place that we are is okay. Let's just, we and our cattle. Why? Because they already started tasting prosperity. That is the snare that is there. You see, Pentecost has refused to cross Jordan. Are you following me? So let's read Numbers chapter 32, verses 1. Say, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very what? Great multitude of cattle. They began to get prosperous. Wilderness prosperity. And so it's like he said, and when they saw the land of Jaza and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place all for cattle. This is before they crossed Jordan. When they saw, what else are we looking for? Like Pastor Malik cracks a joke. And the cow, you come and bless. Come there, the song. That is, but Paul says, if in this life only we have hope, we are all men most miserable. That if all you are born again for is to get material wealth, get a good job, get a wife, all things are right, please. And we need to get them. But let me just summarize because of time. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There is something first to seek. The kingdom of God, which is the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So these things are there. Now, next verse. Next verse in Numbers that we are reading because of time. Help me, Lord, Holy Spirit, I'm grateful. The children of God, let's say, children of God, and children of Reuben, came and spake unto Moses, and to Eleazar the priest, and unto the princes of the congregation. What are they saying? What did they say? Now let's see. Ataroth, say one. Ataroth, one. Dibon, two. And Jaza, three. Nimra, four. Esbon, five. Eliale, whatever, six. Shiban, seven. Nebo, eight. And Beon, nine. What does that mean? They were satisfied, like Pentecost is satisfied today, with the gifts of the Spirit. You see, crossing over is the fullness of Christ bodily. Where anything, you know, Jesus Christ, the anointing was there, is the fullness. But here he speaks about the earnest. That is just thing that happens sporadically, then it will lift again. So Here you see the state of the church today in the Pentecostal realm. So they said, ah, look, Moses, we are okay here. Why are we disturbing ourselves? We don't need to cross over. We already have the gifts of the Spirit. We already have experienced healing. We are prosperous. You know, we have branches here. We have that. You know what I'm trying to talk about because of time. We understand. So he said, look, we are okay here. We don't need to cross Jordan. This Jordan, you have been delivered to death. The love of Christ is made manifest in mother flesh. Well, why do I need to do all this wahala for God's sake when I already have this? You understand my thinking? And no, next verse. One of us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Even the country, let's say, even the country where the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for what? Cattle, and our servants have cattle. Laodicean church. Lord spoke to them. He said, you think you are rich. He said, but I'm telling you, these guys, you are poor, miserable, and wretched. He said, you are neither hot nor cold. Lukewarm. They lost their hunger. He said, I will spit you out. That is not our portion in Jesus' name. But if they don't repent, those that are in this condition and are lukewarm, which means they are not hungry and thirsty for righteousness that will lead them to awakening in Christ's righteousness, that will spew them out. But that's not our portion in Jesus' name. But we have to mention it. And for me, so contrast this to Moses. This same place they were, they had access to the revelation of the promised land, Mount Nebo. Put it back in verse 3. Second to last city. Through the gifts of the Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, they had access to see from Mount Nebo, the promised land. It's because when Moses made a mistake, we know that story, and he smote the rock. And God said, Moses, you're not going again. He said, go to the mountains of Abarim. Get to Mount Nebo, which is beyond, before Jordan. So when you go there, he said, I will show you that land. So this boy, they had access to see the promised land. So when Moses climbed the place and he saw the promised land, he said, ah, God, please forgive me. Please, please forgive me. So what are we saying? This set of people that have lost their hunger and righteousness, it's not because it is God's fault. Because they have decided not to walk in revelation by going onto Mount Nebo. I'm talking in types and shadows now. Asking God for the same Spirit that manifests the gifts of the Spirit, same Spirit that helps to produce this full of the Spirit, same Holy Spirit. But they refused to. Because you see, they kept looking at what they already had. So you can contrast them with Moses. So because Moses looked and said, ah, he saw this is the two. He saw, ah, am I going to die with them in this place? This is not the real McCoy. Everybody know the story. I went there. Unfortunately, he died. Nobody knew why he was buried. But what am I saying? In summary, you see, you need revelation knowledge. It is that light that you see of a prophetic word that comes from true spiritual fathers that keeps that hunger in you. Amen. So when Moses saw it, a fresh hunger was kindled in him. Yes. When you go to Mount Nebo, so to speak, types and shadows now, and you begin to meditate, you begin by saying, in their light we see light. That is how you get the hunger. That's how you get. So you must never come to a place whereby you don't pray. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 17 downwards, every day. The pastor said, you pray it every day. The revelation is progressive and continuous. You must keep on praying. So that is what keeps that hunger and that thirst for righteousness. You're always waking up in the morning, like David said in the book of Psalms. He said, oh Lord, my God, you know, he said that, highly will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh yearns for thee. In a dry and a weary land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. I follow me. So I've seen you sanctuary. That's the end again. So you can see what happened. So what are we saying? Help me, Lord, Holy Spirit. I continue. We'll look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ to get a better understanding of this aspect of righteousness. And it is what culminated in him being anointed with the oil of gladness. Psalm 45, read from verse 6. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Help me to just redeem the time. Thank you, I'm grateful. Let's look at it. Thy throne, O God, is for what? Ever and ever. The scepter of what? Thy kingdom is a right scepter. Like Hebrews says, scepter of righteousness. Next verse. Thou lovest righteousness. That means loving this righteousness. You the right standing of God to pursue after right doing is what? is what? He said, thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness. Say therefore. That is therefore means because of this, of your constant hunger for righteousness, even though it was sinless, even though it was perfect. Are you following me? He says that therefore God thy God has anointed thee with what? The oil. Say the oil of gladness above thy fellows. That is what God is saying. You see, it wasn't automatic for him to anointed at the river Jordan. This is the condition, which is also our own condition. He must hunger and thirst for righteousness until we are filled with the Spirit without measure, the oil of gladness. It seems that being filled with the fullness of the Godhead bodily, it wasn't automatic for him because he was the Son of God. But God shows us the process here. What he did there was he owned the days of flesh when he offered up prayers and supplication. Though he was a son, yet learned the obedience to receive suffers. Thank you very much, sir. So he did suffer. He didn't suffer sickness. He didn't suffer poverty. But he suffered self-denial every day. Mark 1:35 says, wake up a great while before dawn and go to sleep and pray. Self-denial, which is what we are called to do. Pick up your cross daily, he said, and follow me. If you want to, let me put it this way. Or you else, you will not get the oil of gladness. Now, many of us are not there. I myself am not there. But the consoling fact is that we have spiritual parents that are about to inherit. And God has promised in the Bible that it is not only them, but those that follow their footsteps, I and the children that God has given me, are for sons and mothers. So don't let us be under condemnation if our level of seeking after righteousness is not what it ought to be. God demands immediate practice, not immediate power. But we have it as our goal. And anytime you see yourself losing your appetite for messages, let me make it simple again. Messages like humility. Pastor comes and preaches, say, oh, humility again. Then there's a problem. Because he said something, like one man always says, he says, come and learn of me. Not miracles. Not even about the oil of gladness. But meekness and all that. And if I find rest unto your souls, praise the Lord. So that is very important. Now, why? Let's move to the why of this message today. Why is this message very, very important? And I take some of this why from the prophetic word that mommy shared yesterday. I was very blessed by it, and I believe that we too were blessed by the same message. It's a privilege to have parents that have the eye of the eagle. I can see ahead, afar off, and I tell this. So, you know what that thing does? It's like a good parent or a good teacher. He comes and gives the students crunje. So, the wise student, so to speak, the wise virgin, will start preparing before the exam comes. I follow me. So, practice and practice. So by the time the exam comes, he will just smash it. Praise the Lord. So, I put it here. Let me just summarize as I read. We are at the wedding feast in the Cana of Galilee. Let's say we are at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus is there. Let's say, and the mother of Jesus is there with the Lord Jesus. And wine has what? Finished. And Lord Jesus Christ, at this point, it's very important. We are at that feast at Cana of Galilee right now. For emphasis, the issue of John chapter 2. Bible talks about the law of first mention. John chapter 2, put it there. The emphasis at that time, at the beginning of that feast. Come on. The emphasis of that feast at that time, follow me, was in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we there? And the third day, you see the emphasis of God's message in this third day, wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying Lord Jesus Christ, but understand. Before those things could happen, you see, the Lord Jesus' mentor had to trigger it. Now I'm talking about law of first mention. So it says that, and the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. The law of first mention. That is, she had the key to unlock the beginning of miracles. The mother of Jesus was there. Next verse. And but what? Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Meaning that if the mother of Jesus was not there, nothing will happen that day. That is the importance of covering. They give instructions. You see, those instructions, when you obey it, is going to end up turning water to wine. So that is the emphasis there. So what are we saying? I just summarized you know that story. Pastor has shared many times for me. But I just saw some things I want to mention again and then to bring to our remembrance. So the man of Jesus Christ was there and wine was finished. Money was sharing the other day. The wine in the feast in the world today has finished. Economic problems, we don't have answers to what is going on, gross darkness everywhere. And here we see Jesus Christ. Up to this time, he had done no miracle. But they've all come to the feast. I follow me. So when they got to the feast, see what happens. And I put it there. I say, his banner was there, meaning his covering. And he has commanded. Now, moves to Jesus. He has commanded what? 6 water pots. Say 6 water pots. As we all know, 6 is God's number for man. Man was created on the 6th day. And he said, he commanded 6 water pots of stone. Stone speaks of revelation like we taught. Water pots of stone also speaks of our physical bodies. And he said something. He said that these 6 water pots of stone, what should they do to them? The Bible says that they were set. Say set. Set. Set means ready. They were in the feast. What it means is this. If you think properly, that means there must have been 6 other water pots of stone that were not set. Why will he say set? He said in that place, I don't want to have time to say, there were 6 water pots of stone that were set. That means there must be some that were not set. Are you following me? So, we must be in the feast today with the mother of Jesus, that is covering, are you following me, as water pots that are set. And we must have the capacity to contain 2 or 3 firkins of water, life. Bible says, the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let it all be established. So we see we must be in a place whereby the water that we fill with, I following me, must be water that can be a witness to the world. 2 and 3 is God's number for witness. I following my train of thought. So what are we saying? Say, these water pots were set, they were ready. Like these 5 virgins. And I said, they should fill them with water. Now I want to check Cana. When I want to check the meaning of Cana, Cana in the Bible means, in Hebrew it means, let's say together, it means 3 meanings: zeal, jealous, and possession. Let me just explain it because of time. Have at the back of your mind how we mention the mother of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, the disciples, and the 6 water pots of stone that were set. Now I put it here in summary. Says zeal, jealous, possession. That's what Cana means. So it's a place, I would say, it's a place of a gathering of God's people who are zealous. Zealous means passionate and diligent. But giving all diligence to make your calling and election sure. And are jealous with a godly jealousy for the glory of God. That's what they were set. That's what they are thinking about. And have learned and are practicing how to use the blood, the word, and the spirit of God to possess their souls and their vessels in sanctification and honor. The 6 water pots of stone. Did you get that? They have a zeal, a passion. Someone is driving them. They are passionate about it. Are you following me? They are diligent about it to make their calling and election sure. Like Pastor taught us on Sunday. Then apart from that, they are also jealous with a godly jealousy. Paul says something. He says, I've espoused you to one husband. They have these godly jealousies to see glory of God return to his church. I follow me. And then they have also learned and are practicing how to use the blood, the word, and the spirit to possess their souls and their physical bodies. Remember, I think it's in Luke. He says that in your patience, possess your souls. These are the people that are gathered in Cana of Galilee. You know, it's not everybody that's gathered that is doing this. The governor is there. The world is there. Even there are water pots that are not set. But these 6 have a mission. Are you following me? So, let's open a scripture by 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, for mercy. I'm grateful. What does it say? For this is the will of God. Let's say, For this is the will of God. Even your sanctification. That is what? Abstain from fornication. Next verse. That is the will of God. That every one of you should know how. Say, know how. There is a wisdom. There's an apostolic and prophetic wisdom. A know how. Of what? How to what? Possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. That's why those water pots are set. I follow you. Next verse. I think, okay, it's okay like that. Because of time. there's a know-how. And as a pastor, I'm have been teaching all these years about life of Christ being made manifest in the mother flesh. I have time to read the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says the same thing. He said, I pray God, 5:23, your whole spirit, soul, and body preserve blameless. Until the appearing of Lord Jesus Christ. So these water pots of stone were set in that place. That is their mission. Mission number one, they have a zeal. So they are very diligent about this thing. The second thing is that they are jealous for the glory of God. That is what drives them. The passion, like Pastor preached the other day, he said he will drive you to your knees when he preached about times and seasons. And then finally, they have learned and they are practicing. Say learned. They are practicing. See, we've been taught, but it takes practice to inject that life. Because that is the only thing that can help you possess your body in sanctification and in honor. I said, you should not, in first Colossians 3, he says, you should not, you crucify your flesh, mortify the deeds of body, mention adultery, fornication. Why? You know, Pastor shared the last time I was talking about this. And he said something. He said, you see, if the reason why we have to do this, you see, any sin like you mentioned about 3 weeks ago in Shine, in this area, brings sin back into the body. That was Paul shouted. He said, no, you're not. That you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is, that body has been dedicated to the Holy Spirit. So he wants to move in. And I even want to move in by the filling of our water pot with water, his life. So the other side of that is the, if you don't allow him and you walk in this regard, not only fornication, even concupiscence is there, we'll see. You introduce sin back into that body and it cannot occupy it. That is not a portion of Jesus. Therefore, I told that boy, said, deliver such one of Satan for the soul of flesh that his spirit will be saved in the day of the Lord. I put the scripture behind so you can understand what I'm trying to say. Because of time, thank you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Help me to redeem the time. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of his God. That is, they can't inherit. But that is not a portion in Jesus' name. So I don't want us to go thinking about that. As an example, I'll mention about Esau. The Bible calls him, the book of Hebrews chapter 12, I won't have time to tell you that. He said, I don't be like Esau, that fornicator and profane man, who for a morsel of bread forsook his birthright. So he quits what Esau did, what we are talking about. I follow Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 to 17. He said, afterward, he sought for it with tears, but there was no room for repentance. He kept on begging. He said, no, it's too late. That is not our portion. So what are we saying? It's the message of hope. Like, what is the hope there? The master said something, that woman was caught in adultery. He said, does any man condemn you? He said, I don't condemn you. But the sense of saying, go and do what? Sin no more. Are we clear on that? We don't condone it. We don't condemn it, but we take a way of escape by infusing life of God into our physical bodies to overcome this. Not only fornication, he mentioned covetousness there. He talked about it. So all these things are things that will hinder people from inheriting, but that's not a portion in Jesus' name. So the next thing I put here, okay, I've mentioned it. I just want to relate to one of the confessions that we take in our morning confessions. It's very important based on what I've just said. We always confess every morning, like Pastor told us today. Say we are vessels of honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. So we abstain from sexual and preaching, thought, word, and deed, you know, by the influence of joy and praise forevermore, you know, in the presence of God. And he goes on to say this aspect. He says that, he said, we flee from fornication, adultery, and any type of sexual impurity. You know, Pastor has been talking about all kinds of, you know, we're talking about Leviticus, or the misbehaving of people, homosexuality. Say, because what? He has a reason. Say, because it would destroy the physical body, it would dishonor God, and also disinherit that person from the spirit without measure. So we must not take it lightly. But like I said, the Bible says, go and sin no more. So we need to know how to possess our vessels in sanctification and honor. Now the third point, the reason why, is what one man was sharing today, and I'll read it. He said, 2018 is the year of God's divine favor and vengeance upon them that trouble us and Zion. We should be happy about that. But I say, they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord heard it. 2018 is a manifestation of that day that we see that the Lord has heard those that fear him. And what are we saying? Mommy explained and said, Satan and his cause and human spirit in alliance with the devil. And she declared yesterday, I was so excited. It's a season of showers of blessing. It's a season of victory. It's a season that somebody said, it's the day we take the battle to the gates. Say, we take the battle to the gates to receive and to enforce that victory. The gate here is not the physical gate. He's talking about the eye gate, like Pastor taught, the five physical senses. That is the gateway that the enemy used to enter into physical body. So we take that battle to the gate and crucify the flesh of all his affections and loss. So he says that it is a year of God's vengeance, which the master read. He didn't read that aspect and has left it for the end time church. This talks also about the soul system, because he said a year of what? Of vengeance upon them that trouble us and Zion. This talks about the soul leadership in the church. You remember that story when Jonathan was going to take honey and if I didn't know what you eat, and then he took that something and he tasted that. So it's even my father that is troubling Israel. We don't have time to turn there. So soul leadership has troubled the body of Christ through rebellion and idolatry. When Samuel said rebellion is a sin of witchcraft and what? Iniquity as idolatry. They've troubled the body of Christ with all they have been preaching. That is why the people of God have lost their hunger and thirst for righteousness. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? I will explain. So I'll make it clear before we begin to round up. It's not a long message. Help me, Holy Spirit. What are we saying? Iniquity and idolatry. Let me explain. This is how I saw when I was praying about it, and this is what I believe God showed me. You see, in Isaiah 61, let's read for emphasis. 1-2, let's read, because mom read it, let's just read Isaiah 61. Say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has what? Anointed me to do what? To preach good tidings. Say, good tidings. Unto what? The meek. He has also sent me to what? Bind up the brokenhearted. To proclaim on liberty to the captives. Are you following me? And the opening of prison to them that are bound. Next verse. To proclaim what? The acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. That aspect God has reserved for the end time church. That is why it's the year of blessings 2018. When I was meditating on it, just using types and shadows to preach, this is what I believe God showed me. I won't preach it as a doctrine, but I just wonder, could this be a coincidence? The first question is this: when did the master proclaim this? We all know it was after he received the measure. But you see, when you check his age from age 12 to age 30, which is of maturity, you have 18 years. I follow my train of thought. And so we are talking about 2018 as a year of the Lord's vengeance. That is, listen to me. Listen to me. It's very important. I mentioned something earlier on about the feast in Cana of Galilee. The Lord could not manifest that glory until, let me rush through scriptures. I just mentioned it. Luke 2:42 says that when he was 12 years old, they stood for the feast of Passover. That was the age of accountability. Now, you know the story. He stayed back for 3 days and then they came back, they saw him and they took him. Luke 2:51. Let's read that one for emphasis. What does it say? It says, and when he was swept, no, let's move for time, please. 51, Luke 2:51. So, you know that story? Then they said, why have you? He said, do not go about my father's business. Then they took him, Joseph and Mary. And he went down, let's say, and he went down, talks about humility, with them and came to Nazareth. And was what? Subject to them, but his mother kept all these things saying in her heart. Now, how many years was he subject to them? 18 years. Until the time appointed of the fathers at the feast in Cana of Galilee. When he was about 30 years old, Luke 3:23, I think we're talking about genealogy. Because he said when he was full 30 years, he was talking about genealogy. When he was 30 years old, he got the release of a spirit, that measure like we've been taught. But see, for the manifestation of that which was released to come, his mentor that had kept him in submission for 18 years, 12 to 30, had to release the word. As I said, at the feast of in Cana of Galilee, the emphasis there was the mother. That's why it says that in the feast of Cana of Galilee, Jesus' mother was there. He didn't mention Jesus because at that time he was under authority and it comes from top down. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So it's a season we must understand the times and seasons and what we ought to do. We should hunger and thirst for righteousness, be set in that place. Are you following me? Fill the water stones with pots. Have a zeal for the glory of God. Be diligent about it and possess that water pot. Praise the Lord. So, he says the day of vengeance for our God. So, I put it here. Let me just summarize it. A year of setting the captives free. Say, a year of setting the captives free. Have at the back of the mind, again, I keep saying for emphasis. Because we need to know the conditions for it to come to pass. If we go back to John chapter 2, the master went to the mother went to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, they have no wine. Like pastor taught us, he said, the Lord was expecting anything to occur somewhere down the line, Passover. I know we were declaring something yesterday. He said, this thing has already started. Don't wait till 2018. The scripture says that in the evening and the morning was the first day. That's how God reckons his day. Now follow my train of thought. So it was not until he spoke to the Lord Jesus Christ. That was what activated the ability to manifest the spirit of without measure that has been released. It came to his mentor, his covering. Now I can again, the emphasis of John chapter 2 was the mother. I have to say, and his mother was there. There's no point in no longer belabor the point. I said, it's a year of setting captives free, a year of victory, a year of blessings. Why? By the manifestation of a spirit without measure. And God gave me a story of the woman that was bound 18 years. Luke chapter 13, verse 11. Are we there? And when, no, have mercy on me. And behold, there was a woman. That applies to individual Christians and the body of Christ. Which word? Had a word? A spirit of infirmity. It could be a sickness. It could be pride. Whatever. Are you following me? And had a spirit of infirmity. Well, how many years? 18 years. That same 18 years, it took the master to mature. This man had been waiting. Follow my train of thought. What are we saying? You see, it took, like Pastor said, that's why we have to be ready. Under covering, set. As water pots. You see, if the master had not been ready, he would not have been able to do anything. The pastor mentioned, he said, he raised up Jairus. What if they called him to come and raise up Jairus' daughter? Not Jairus, Jairus' daughter. And he wasn't ready. Or the widow of Nain's son, and wasn't ready. But the master was working according to time. So also was his mother. The mother was working according to time. So everybody was there according to time. And they were ready. Next verse. Let's keep because of time. 11, let's go to 16. We know the story because of time. And the master said, and ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, Lord, this what? 18 years. You're talking about things to come for next year. Be what? Loose from this bond on the Sabbath day. It's a day of rest. I follow what I'm trying to say. So get my thought pattern. So these are the things, like you said, that we should be expecting because of the manifestation of the spirit without measure. That is the blessing aspect. He has blessing as individuals. We must go forth and possess it. Don't be humble, so to speak. And don't go out, like I said, go take the battle to the gates. God wants to restore the years that the locust, the cacawan, and the caterpillar have eaten, Joel. So we must have faith for it and must go out and take the battle to the gates. That is that aspect of it. Then the other aspect I will mention is about, we're now moving to the day of vengeance, which the master will not mention in the book of Luke. Like Mom said yesterday, he said, the day of vengeance to them that trouble us and that trouble the Zion church. Who are those that trouble us and trouble them? So a type of that is that ruler over that church in the synagogue. I said, what is even wrong with you, concept? And then you just go away and come back. You are 6 days. Do you have a problem with people being blessed in righteousness, but saw the mass reaction. That's the type of the bad leadership that vengeance is coming upon, that trouble us and trouble Israel. Psalm 58 verse 9. Well, let me pray for it regularly. Say, before your pots, remember the water pots that were said, before your pots can fill the tons, it shall do what? Take them away as what? The wild wind, both living and is in his wrath. Next verse. The righteous, say the righteous, those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, shall see what? The vengeance, he shall, so, the vengeance, sorry, excuse me. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth what? The vengeance, he shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. Satan and his cause and human spirits in alliance with the devil. Next verse. So that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, is a God that judgeth in the earth. Like we've been told, we can take it to the bank. It's a day of blessing, a day of victory, and also a day of vengeance. You can put it in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 20. I don't have time to talk. Pastor has talking about pots in the house of the Lord. Zechariah says, in that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like what? The bowls before the altar. Next verse. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be what? Holiness unto the Lord. Now, why I'm reading the scripture, it's got Pastor mentioned on Sunday. He said, therefore, having his promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all fitness of flesh and spirit, perfecting all this in fear of God. And he said the primary reason why we need to, first of all, direct the spirit that measure is to perfect holiness in the fear of God. That's why I'm reading it. Praise the Lord. Now, let's move to the how. How are we going to attain unto this thing as we begin to round up by the grace of God? It's not a long message. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 10, 11. Okay, how are we going to partake of this? We'll go back to the book of John chapter 2. I already mentioned it, but I just mentioned it for emphasis. Let's say together, by obeying whatever he says. Who said that? Was it the Lord Jesus or Mary? So, when the master said, go and fill the water pots. Who said that? You don't understand what I'm trying to say. Connect, please. The mother comes and says, "Without," he told the master, "they have no wine." And the master said, "It's my time is not yet." And he leaves the master and he goes to the servants. Say, "Whatever I tell you to do, do." Let me make it very simple. You rather have an agony own way in your long. When Mary said that, when Lord Jesus Christ said that, it was what his mother said. Can you connect? Can you connect? That was the trigger. John chapter 2 verse 5. Jesus, his mother said unto the servants, whatever he said unto you, do. So whose instructions were they obeying? Lord Jesus' instruction or his mother's instruction? It's both. It's both. Do you get my to say? What I'm trying to say? So when we get instructions about what to do, don't see it as man talking to you. See it as God talking to you. The mother said, whatever it tells you to do. So they obey the instruction of the mother. They also obey the instruction of Jesus Christ. He said, are you following me? It's very clear. So let's look at that example just to support it. We look at Naomi and Ruth. Because this is how this thing is going to come to be. As I round up, help me, Holy Spirit. Ruth 3, verses 1 to 6. I will read and then we'll just round up. Help me, Holy Spirit. Ruth 3, 1 to 6. I'll just rush through. Then Naomi, as we've been taught, then Naomi, our mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? That it may be what? Where we did, or inherit the border of the spirit of measure. Next verse. Next verse. And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, the winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Why? Because Naomi had known Boaz before Ruth ever met Boaz. Are you following my Boaz is the type of Lord Jesus Christ, so I don't need to explain. Next verse. Says, wash therefore thyself, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. Next verse. He These are Naomi's instructions about to inherit. And it shall be when he lie down, and thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Manna says, whatever I tell you to do, do. And we have to wait for the bold verse now tells, you get that same link there, next verse. And she said unto her, that thou sayest unto me, I will what? Do. Verse 6. And she went down onto the floor and did what? According to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Very important. That is the key to unlocking the manifestation at the feast of Cana of Galilee. Now the second instruction that comes, I've already talked about, is the master says, fill the water pots with water, which is the type of life of God. Put the life of God in your mortal flesh. So now when you do that and you're in the process of being that, process of blessing, sacrifice and honor, you now say, draw out. My mom was praying yesterday. He said, the Bible says, in that great day of the feast, he said, If any man thirst, let him come what? To me and drink. Out of his what? Belly shall flow rivers of living water. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. How does this happen? We're talking about the how now. One, it can only happen through traveling prayer. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 4. Paul was talking. He said that we that are in this tabernacle are burdened. Not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality. He said we that are in this body grown. Not that we should be unclothed, but that mortality shroud up of life. As you can see there. That means it takes what? The travailing, like Pastor has taught us in recent times, frequently and fervently, to put that life in the body. Which means that's filling the water pots with water. Now the second aspect also, which I put here, help me Holy Spirit, is that also the second thing which you've been taught to do, which is very important, is now how do we fill the water pots with water? Pastor has taught us it by praying. Let's say praying frequently and fervently. And I put this there. Through the increase of our lips, with stammering lips and another tongue. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 20 to 21 says, a man's belly, your spirit man, as the master shouted, shall be a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with what? The increase of his lips shall he be filled. We are talking about filling the water pots to the brim now, for they can turn to wine. And how do you do that? Is what Pastor has taught us. By Isaiah 28 verse 11, he said that with stammering lips and another tongue will speak to these people. So how do you fill this water pot to be ready to be allowed this thing to turn, drawn out, turn to wine? We pray frequently in the spirit. I think that's simple enough. With the increase of our lips shall we be filled. How do we get that increase? Like Pastor said, by praying frequently and by praying fervently. That prayer that I gave us recently, say, Father, please fill my will, my mind, my emotions, my body with your love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience, so that I will think, speak, feel, and act like God. So each time you do that, with the increase in frequency and fervency, you are filling that water pot with water. And as you continue to do that, suddenly, what will happen? There will be a commandment that will come, that go now and draw unto governor of the feast. And as he drew that water out and took it to governor of the feast, what happened? It turned to wine, bringing about a solution to economic problems that were facing nations of the world. I said, arise, shine, for the light has come. For what? The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. As he drew out that water and you begin to give to people, either in your office, either in your workplace, your home, it begins to turn to wine. Then the governor of the feast announced, like he said in that time, said, everybody at the beginning of every feast will give the best, but you have saved the best for the last. Praise the Lord. That's the end of the message. Praise the Lord. Let's bow down to pray. Thank you so much for your mercies, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your love and help. Thank you for showing us things to come as we move to year 2018. Thank you, Father, for the sons of Issachar that have an understanding of the times and the seasons and what Israel ought to do. We say, Lord, as a body, as we talk to you, say, be it unto us according to your word. Lord, we say we receive the word by faith and we thank you for it. That for us and our entire household will be a year of victory, a year of blessings. Lord, showers of blessing upon everyone grassing the field in this house that is gathered at the feast of Cana of Galilee. Let's talk to the Lord as we pray. Let's respond to the Lord as we sing this song that we sang yesterday. There shall be showers of blessing with little adjustment that was made yesterday. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of God. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from a Savior above. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we receive. Mercy drops round us are falling. And abundant life we receive.
Showers of blessings.
Showers of blessings.
Showers of blessings.
Showers of blessings we receive.
Mercy drops
round us are falling.
Abundant life
we receive.
Let's respond to the Lord as we put one hand on our hearts and raise our hand to heaven, to the Lord. Let's respond to Him, what He has spoken to us even yesterday. Mercy drops round us are falling. This has been declared a year of mercy. It is that mercy that now takes us to the next year. Mercy has kept us this year from being consumed. Mercy has kept us this year and has made us faithful in the midst of trials and tribulations. Mercy has caused us to triumph. That mercy is what will now help us to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable, which is a reasonable service. So that in 2018, we can receive what the showers of blessing. But the Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that you desire to fill those that are hunger and thirst after your righteousness, even with the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I also thank you for your word that has come from said spiritual fathers concerning the year 2018. I declare under the covering of said spiritual fathers over me and my entire household that 2018 is a year of victory, a year of showers of blessing, a year of God's divine favor over us, and a year of my witnessing the vengeance of God upon them that trouble us and trouble Zion. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray on. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for your mercies. Lord, just thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you for love. Thank you for covering. We give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Praise the Father.